This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. All praise is due to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I begin by greeting all my brothers and sisters out there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon all of our brothers and sisters in faith, our brothers and sisters in humanity, and our loved ones. We are continuing our sessions on well-being, personal well-being, and the health of our family unit. It's not a very pleasant topic, but I think it's a topic that is definitely needs to be addressed. As a result of people being in these close quarters, and by no means I am justifying this, but what we are being told is that cases of domestic violence are skyrocketing. And I know that was the case in Italy, in parts of China, and it's also being reported here. And I know that the tendency is to blame it on people spending too much time together. There is really never an excuse for this kind of behavior. And like we said, you know, time together, yes, it does come with its challenges. We have got this uninterrupted prolonged time. And we said time in itself is not really a factor. But what happens is that the trajectory of the relationship is the biggest and the bigger deal here. And time just happens to accelerate what or where towards which direction was the relationship going. So inshallah, in the few minutes that we have, I want to discuss certain practices that must really be exhibited by us with our loved ones in order to make sure that we don't resort to doing these things. Number one, remember that very few of us have had the opportunity to be so long within our family members in this close proximity for as long as this period of time. And that is when we get to see things. And unfortunately, what happens is that we tend to be critical of what we're seeing. Critical of the spouse, husband and wife, critical of the kids, critical of this and critical of that. And remember, generally speaking, we do not like to be criticized because we feel that our ego is being, you know, there is a sense of attack or there is a sense of an insult that is usually associated with criticism. So if there is one thing that we want to focus on at this point is please, please cool it down with the criticism. You know, in marital relationships, when we speak as there are certain things that are referred to as love busters, and these are things that people do in marriage that makes it very difficult to continue to love the other person. And one of these things is constant criticism. See, when we feel that we are criticized, then ultimately what we like to do is that we like to defend ourselves. So we put our guards up because we don't want to be criticized by the other person. And if the criticism becomes so constant, then we start behaving constantly in a defensive mode, which means that we perceive everything that is said to us as an attack and we need to defend ourselves. Classical example, I come in and I say, oh man, it's very hot in here. And then the other person immediately jumps in and says, well, it's not my problem that the AC is not working. And it's not, I was just making a comment. And what happened is that the other person perceived my comment as an attack because the relationship is getting to the point where there is a constant criticism on my part. So please, my brothers and sisters, I beg of you, at this point, please tone down your criticism. It doesn't mean that we are approving of the wrong that we are seeing. It doesn't mean that we are negligent. All it means is that we are being selective with the type of things that we need to point out, simply because this is going to be a long time. And if we're constantly, you know, if you're just pointing five things wrong an hour, and by the end of 10 hours, that's 50 things. And that is a lot of things. And like I said, we generally speaking do not like to be criticized. And I love this idea of Anas ibn Malik, when he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sent him for something, and Anas ibn Malik would come in very late because he found kids on the way, and he decided that he was going to be playing with them. And Anas ibn Malik later on comments, and he said that, I observed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. And then he makes this unbelievable observation, and he said, for Allah ma qala li li shay'in fa'altahu lima fa'altahu wa li shay'in lam af'alhu lima lam taf'al. Said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never scolded me or said to me for things that I have done, why did you do it? And for things that I neglected to do, why didn't you do it? Many times we can give our feedback in the most beautiful, you know, loving silence. And if we can practice this, that would be awesome. A hadith comes to mind. Abu Huraira narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mu'minu mir'atu al-mu'min." The believer is the mirror of another believer. And it's a very common hadith that we know it. And the scholars have deduced 10 points from this hadith. For example, they say, when we stand in front of the mirror, ultimately what we are asking is, it's a session of consultation. How do I look? And as we are looking at our mirror image in the mirror, that's the feedback that we are getting. The longer we look, the more we are able to fix of ourselves. You know, you need to button this up, and maybe you need to trim here, and maybe you need to do. So we're constantly doing this, but they say that here is the interesting part, that the mirror is giving us feedback silently. And when we come to consult it, the mirror does not scold or blame or shame us. You know, no mirror ever said, you know, why are you coming looking like this? No mirror does that. And then they say also it's beautiful because once you leave, your image leaves with you. Your defects are not left there for people to see, people who come afterwards. They speak about the mirror being so honest and being so fair. It will not make big that which is small, and it will not make small that which is big. Similarly, when we think about this idea of, you know, you want to call it criticism, you want to call it positive feedback, our aim is always to please as we do this. The idea is never to put the other person down, but to uplift the other individual. Similar to please cooling the criticism down, point number two is connection before correction. This is crucial, because remember that every rule that is not preceded by an emotional investment is bound to be broken. We want to know that the rules are being set, they are being shared with us by people. Our commitment to the rule increases tremendously when we know that the other person is coming from a place of love and a place of compassion and a place of kindness. Then, you know, adhering to these rules becomes a sweet endeavor. So please keep in mind that connection precedes correction. The more we connect, the easier it becomes to correct. Sad part is we want to be upfront with our criticism, even if it means that we lose the person. So remember again, please cool down the criticism. Number two, please remember that connection must come before correction. Okay. Next one that is also, I believe, is really important at this point. Okay. I love the way that this was phrased. It says right now, be curious and don't be furious. We are learning about each other at this point. Things that we should have done in the past, but I think the time, what the time has done is that it has lent itself to us to learn more about one another. Remember in the past, in the working outside, in the driving and using the kids as a buffer and the homework and the, activities and what have you. What happened is that our emotional needs were met, and they were spread all over the place. And what we're hoping for right now is all of the sudden, we lost all of this, and now we are bringing it all into the family unit, which means that there is a tremendous amount of pressure on the family unit at this point. Like I said, we're noticing things, we are seeing things. And by the way, these things, maybe they're coming out as a result of this frustration that everybody else is feeling. And the natural tendency is, like we said, number one is, to be critical. Or number two, worse yet, is to be furious as a result. And what we want to do is stop being furious. And let's practice being curious. And by that, I mean, learn more about one another. Subhanallah, in counseling sessions, especially with couples, there was a procedure or a type of counseling that we used, referred to as the sound house system. And it's supposedly made of seven different stages that we take the family or the couples through. And I remember the very first stage was getting to know each other. When people are married, the tendency is that we think that we know each other so well. The reality of it is that maybe we knew each other enough to develop interest in each other at the very beginning. However, what happened now is that now that we are married, we have become so relaxed and we're no longer curious in learning about each other or inquiring of each other, how was your day and how are things going and what have you. And we actually miss out on learning each other's or learning about each other because we've changed. Remember, in my 20s, I'm not the same person as in my 30s. And in my 40s, hopefully, I am not the person that I used to be in my 30s and so on. And it would be so sad that as I am changing, that the person that I am with is not part of that change or is not aware of the changes that are taking place. And by the way, what is being said about me is also being said about her. It is also said about our kids who are no longer 5, they're 10, they're 15. So rather than being furious, it would actually do us a lot of good to develop some kind of curiosity about, learning from each other. And like I've been saying, for this to take place, remember that places like what we're thinking and how we are feeling are places where people can only come in by invitation or by permission. So my job is to knock on the door to find out what the person is thinking or to find out what the person is feeling. But when I knock on the door, it is not by default that the people are going to allow me in. People would want to know who is there, and then they decide whether people like myself are going to be admitted or not admitted. So I need to be admittable. I need to be of the people that when I knock on the door to get access to what you're thinking or how you're feeling, you look at me and say, this person, they can definitely come in. Come on in. police. While other people will look at them and say, absolutely not. Talk to the hand. I do not want to talk to you. And as we've been saying, that this idea of creating a safe space. See, if I'm curious about you, you're not just automatically going to open up. I must create a safe space for people to be. And that safe space is made up of different components. So for example, I need to be able to trust you. You know, things that we refer to as the five T's. I need to be able to trust you. And it's okay to talk, even if the talk is not important, especially, you know what, with youngsters or as people are warming up to us, we must be able to tolerate small talk, nonsense talk. It's just people's way of testing us or testing the water, as they say, prior to them allowing us in or feeling safe enough. We're talking about that I have the time. You can't really just say, well, let me tell you how my day went. And I say, okay, go ahead. And I look into my watch. Because what that really means is that I do not have the time for you, which is not inducive of me opening up because you just seem to be like you are in a rush. I need to be able to trust time and talk. And it is always nice that there is an expression of affection. And that can either be through the usage of words, body language, and sometimes just physically touch. That's the fourth T. And then the last one is this idea of tease. And that is we can laugh with each other. We can laugh at me along with everybody else. What this does is that it helps in enhancing a safe place where people can just be. So remember this, cool down the criticism. Connect before you correct. Be curious and do not be furious. And number four is actually a default by these things. Please, please allow other people to feel bad. If somebody is feeling down, please just allow them. Before you even start cheering them up, just hear the person out. Especially with kids, if they are bored, please allow them. Like we said, what we're seeing is kids are reacting to this, and depending on how the parents or the adults in the family are responding, that is also either creating a happy atmosphere or it's creating another type of problem. Kids are bored, rightly so. Their routine has been taken away from them. They no longer have the friends that they used to go to or the activities that was a part of them. So they're feeling bad. And what we want to do is please allow the other person to feel bad. Please allow your husband, your wife to feel bad. You know, the idea of, you know, especially most men are used to being outside and doing work and feeling accomplished and feeling we're contributing and feeling we are earning. And then these things are taken away from us. So it's okay to feel bad. It's okay that a person is upset. It's okay that the person is frustrated. And the same thing is also said about our sisters. You know, people who work outside or they work inside or they have had this gap for themselves. And then all of a sudden, you know, sisters been telling me, and it's like 24/7, you know, I'm meeting everybody's needs and everybody is expecting this from me. And on top of that, I have to work. And it's okay to allow each other to please. It's okay for people to feel bad. And it's okay also for us to allow them to feel bad. It's okay for people to air their frustration. Now, what we want to do is that even when we do this, we want to be safe, we want to be considerate, and we want to be thoughtful in expressing these things. Okay? Then, the other thing also that really helps at this point is, you know that people want to make sure that our kids are not wasting the time. So we have schedules for them, which is beautiful, you know, establishing some kind of a routine at home. But that schedule cannot be a very rigid schedule. It does everybody good if there is some flexibility. Excuse me. And please keep in mind that from what and how things are looking, that we are going to be in this until at least the end of the month, which means the next 3 weeks, inshallah, going into Ramadan. And what we're hoping for is that during this time, yeah, we have our schedule, things that we like to accomplish during this time, but we want to be flexible. You know, rigidity breaks things. Flexibility allows things to survive, and later on, you know, you can go back to it again. So please add this as well. Inshallah, I'm coming back to the whole idea of domestic violence. Another component that is extremely important is this concept of tarahum, mutual kindness and compassion. You know, in times of these stressful situations that we are going through, wallahi, my brothers and sisters, I tell you, criticism must go out. Rigidity must go out. Being furious must go out. And what we want to increase is gentleness and compassion. Remember, it is mutual compassion towards one another. These are really, really difficult times. And like we've been saying, people have every right to feel the way that they are feeling, be it in the form of anxiety, be it in the form. These are all things that just, you know what, sometimes I just need somebody to understand. I need somebody that I can complain to. And then hopefully by the end of it, somebody will just say, inshallah, it will be okay. I love the story, and I never get tired of telling this story. After the hurricane in Houston, Harvey, you know, in one of the volunteer centers, this big, you know, African-American man walks into the volunteer center and he says he wants to volunteer. And the people say, well, what do you want to do? Do you have a boat? No. Do you have a floaty? No. Do you have a big truck? No. Well, did you bring water? No. Do you have dry clothes? No. So people say, okay, what do you want to do? And he said, man, I got no boat, no floaty, no truck, no water, no dry clothes. I just want you to tell the people that I'll be standing at that corner. And if anybody wants a hug, I will give them a hug. He felt that this is something that people need, and he is willing to offer that to people. And I remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he spoke about the people who are going to be closest to him on the day of judgment. Who's going to be like closest to you in position in the assembly? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ahasinukum akhlaqa, those who have the best of character amongst you, almuwatti'una aknafa, they are those who have made their shoulders available. الَّذِينَ يَأْلَفُونَ وَيُؤْلَفُونَ, they are those who are loving and they are those who are lovable. They are those who have made their shoulders available to comfort people. And that's such a beautiful quality, that I can find comfort in my wife, in my husband, in my mom, in my dad, in my brother, in my sister. And that's such a beautiful thing to know, that these are people that I can count on emotionally. And it's crucial that we must practice, and as parents, we must model this concept of tarahum, mutual compassion. And remember, these are things that are mostly and best taught when done and not verbalized. Of course, you can always talk about them. However, what we want to do is that we want to show, you know, a kind person does not go around telling people, by the way, I am really kind. If you ever come to me, I'll make you comfortable. No, we pick this thing up from people because we see how they are. We get that impression about them, and that is, I can count on that person. I can talk to this person. I can really rely emotionally on this person. So it is the way that we model in front of our families, that we let them know that this is what's going on. And the more we model of it, inshallah, and that is the hope, other people will pick on it and other people would want to behave accordingly. Please keep in mind, being kind to those who are kind to us does not make us kind. True kindness is having the ability to extend kindness even towards those whom we know or whom others would perceive as not worthy of it. And remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises. Irhamu man fil ard, yirhamukum man fis sama, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. Be kind to those who are on earth, the one up in heaven will be kind to you. Or show mercy to them, and Allah will show mercy to you. Now, these are all things that, you know, these are all ways to cope with the stress and the anxiety and the frustration that people may be feeling. But you definitely, my brothers and sisters, you do not want to resort to violence. Number one, it is un-Islamic. It is illegal. It is not manly. It is not something that we expect from our elders in the family. These are not things that we do. You do not hit a person in the hopes that, you know what, you are supposedly correcting a behavior. And please keep in mind also, I just came to the States here in Tennessee, but I know that in some states, adults, hitting adults is not child abuse. But in some states, exposing children to domestic violence is a form of child abuse that can result in having the children removed away from that place. So the legal ramifications are very, very serious. And you want to make sure that this is not the case in your family, inshallah. Hitting people does not resolve the problem. If anything, you know, when people feel so violated physically that their physical well-being has been jeopardized, you know, we become resentful. We, you know, the emotional glue that ties us to the other person that's just doing the hitting, it becomes weaker. So as a rule, we say that, look, to begin with, generally speaking, you know, we don't use violence as a way of correcting behavior. Especially, you know, nowadays, people are really, really frustrated, especially with our kids. I know people tell me, it's like, I'm losing my patience. I really cannot do this anymore. I say, look, I understand, but please do not mistaken understanding as a form of acceptance. Explanation does not mean justification. Trying to understand does not mean that I am attempting to find an excuse. So when we use these words, look, man, I understand it's very tough out there, does not mean that that's okay. All we're saying is, look, I know why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. However, it remains to be that resorting to violence is not something that we do. So please, my brothers and sisters, please keep your hands to yourselves. Violence does not resolve the problem. Wallahi, it does not. Violence or anger is not an acceptable excuse for violence. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once asked the companions, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was beautifully engaged in this idea of revisiting concepts and correcting concepts. So one time he said to his companions, "Man ta'udduna al-qawiy fiikum?" Who do you consider the strong amongst you? You know, who's got the strength amongst you? So they said, "Qala ya Rasulullah, man yasra'u ar-rijal." It is he who is able to put other men down, like wrestle them down. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No. That is not what strength is." Then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innamal qawiyyu man yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab." Truly a strong person is the one who is able to control themselves when angry. That says so much about us. Now, I felt like yelling. I felt like hitting. I felt like screaming. I felt like, but you know what? I just bit on my, and I did not say anything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, now that is strength. That is self-discipline. That is might. So similarly, please remember this. من يملك نفسه عند الغضب. A person who is strong is the person who is able to practice self-discipline and self-control when they are provoked or when they are angry. In the hadith, it said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once, you know, he was at the funeral and somebody's passed away, and they are by the graveside digging the grave and getting that grave ready. So somebody comes out of nowhere and yells to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Muhammad, رد إلي مالي فإنكم يا بني عبد المطلب قوم مطل. Hey Muhammad, pay back the loan that I've given you. I know your family, the family of Abd al-Muttalib. Even though you have the ability to pay back, but you don't. And the man said it, and he was very rude, and he was very loud. And the people were just so upset. It's like, this is not the place for it, and this is not how you do it. You don't need to be yelling, and you don't need to be rude. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people, just leave the man alone. The man believes he has rights and he's here asking for his rights. And, you know, he tells Umar ibn Khattab to go along with the man to give him the money. And on the way, they say that, you know, Sayyidina Umar was very upset with this man. And on the way, the man looked at Umar and makes a point that, you know, the man back there, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he said, he is indeed a prophet of Allah. And now Umar is all confused and he said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Why were you so rude to him like that? He said, man, he said, I'm a member of the Jewish community. And I have been reading about the awaited messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've seen all the signs in this man. But there was one particular one that I wanted to test for myself. He said, we read in our books that one of his qualities is that the more rudely people behave towards him, the gentler he becomes. And he said, I know I was rude. I know what I did was not right and socially absolutely unacceptable. And he said, that was important because to me, he said, that was very important that I tested. And this just happens to be an excellent opportunity to test that. So please, just a quick recap. Cool down the criticism. And number two, we said, connect before you correct. Number three, we said, be curious, do not be furious. Number four, we said, allow people to feel bad. Number five, we said, create a safe space for the people to be. And number six, we said, please practice mutual kindness. And then we also want to introduce this idea of violence does not resolve problems. There are consequences. There are legal consequences. There are Islamic consequences. You know, we have a tendency to recite the verse in the Quran from Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Indeed, Allah and His angels, they send their salawat, their salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, you know, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. O ye who believe, send your salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then what happens after that? What's the verse after that? Then Allah tells us about those who attempt to molest Allah and His Messenger. Of course, they cannot. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. You know, these are people going to be cursed in this life as well as in the hereafter. And then the Quran tells us about وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And then there are those who assault the believing men and the believing women. And this is verse number 58 in Surah number 35, Surah Al-Ahzab, the Confederates, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning those who assault, who molest, and who violate believing men and believing women. Sometimes the believing men and the believing women are members of our own household, and we may be the ones guilty of this assault and violation that is taking place. Please, we do not want to do that. And we want to make sure that our brothers and our sisters feel safe. The tendency also is that whenever we speak about domestic violence, we be addressing the brothers. Simply because 85% of the recipients of domestic violence are women and children. 15% of the time, it is men. So the assumption here is that more of the domestic violence that is taking place is taking place by the men. Remember, it does not necessarily, domestic violence is one aspect of domestic abuse. It can come in the form of verbal abuse, the calling of names, derogatory names, especially in front of others, especially in front of your kids, unacceptable. Can't really be calling this to the father or to the mother. These are not the behaviors or the actions of believers. Talking about emotional abuse, unacceptable by men or by women towards each other or towards the children or even towards the parents. We have elder abuse as well, where kids are constantly threatening their elderly parents that I'm going to abandon you, that I will leave you alone, that I will throw you out and what have, making these types of threats, you know, emotionally that has a negative impact on us. So there is verbal abuse, there is domestic, literally, you know, violence taking place. There is the emotional, there is the financial. And what we want is that we want to create happy homes and happy families, which is very, very attainable. Please remember, this time does not have to be a bad time. This can be a beautiful experience. Wallahi, it can be a beautiful experience where people tell stories, they share dreams, they share hopes, they share fears, they get to know one another, they explore different possibilities. They speak about what will happen tomorrow, inshallah, when everything gets better. What is one thing that you wanted to know about me, or one thing that I would want to know about you, or you want one thing that, and this was one of the questions that we asked, what is one thing that I would love for you to know about me that I really do not think you know about me? What are my unaccomplished dreams? What are my aspirations? So these are all things that people can be talking about and gaining insight into one another. So please, inshallah, our time here is over. We have 4 minutes, inshallah, for those who wish to make a comment or to ask a question, inshallah, now is a good time. But please, whatever you do, please do not resort to violence. Believing men and believing women, do not use their hands like this against each other, or especially against our children at this point. As angry and as frustrated as you are, please remember that this is not an excuse to engage in such type of a behavior, for that is not how believers behave towards one another. In a minute, just going to remind you very quickly, please be gentle, please be kind, please be compassionate towards one another. And as we always do, just want to make sure that everybody, please out there, please do stay safe. If you do not need to go outside, please do not go outside. Protect yourself and protect your loved ones who are there. If you must, please be as cautious as possible. Also, if any of our loved ones is having health issues, especially if they have contracted this virus, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them a speedy recovery, ya Rabbil Alameen. If any of our loved ones has passed away, may Allah bless their souls. Subhanallah, it's, you know, getting closer and closer, being, you know, listening to, you know, community members, friends that I know, telling me about, you know, loved ones who passed away because of this. So if any has experienced that, our condolences to you and to your family. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the souls of those who have passed away. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all safe, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our families safe, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the health workers safe and sound. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them all the time. And all the people out there who are, you know, taking us and guiding us through this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all and bless their families and protect them and protect their families, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair for spending your evening with us, allowing us to come to your homes. And please do remember that in the Memphis area here, every single night, one of us, myself, Sheikh Anwar, Sheikh Muhammad, Sheikh Zaghloul, and other imams in the area are, you know, sharing that part of the evening with you. Please do tune in, and inshallah, hope that you are enjoying this. And once again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us all safe and sound, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.